2018, and something is happening in Denver. Walk through downtown on any given day, and you'll hear the sound of construction around every corner. And, hey, is that a Target going in on the 16th Street Mall? Over the last few years, Denver has been one of the fastest-growing cities in the country, and the city is seeing 2.5% employment growth year over year. This recent population boom has propelled us into the ranks of world-class cities like Boston, Seattle, and San Francisco. At the same time, new money is flooding the state. According to a recent report from MoneyTree, Colorado startups secured $1.1 billion in investments in 2017. And no, it's not just weed. We're talking about healthcare, telecommunications, tech. The people are following the money is following the ideas, and the ideas are coming from the people. So what's the deal? How do we translate these big, incomprehensible numbers into the real world? Why here? Why now? What's making Denver boom? Denver Startup Week offers an interesting vantage point to watch this growth. The event started in 2011 with only a few thousand people. And since then, it's grown to become the largest free entrepreneurial event of its kind. Last year, there were almost 19,000 registered attendees for 372 events across 81 venues. And this year, it looks like it's going to be even bigger. My name is Paul Caroli, and as a business reporter for the last few years, I've been watching all this happen. I chased smaller stories about the rise and fall of individual businesses and reported on various trends. But now, I want to take a step back and see if I can understand the big picture. What's driving Denver's steady growth? That's why I'm working with Denver Startup Week to host and produce this podcast about the businesses, ideas, and people shaping Denver today. From the ups and downs of that first year in startup world,
I believe with all of my being that this is real and this has the power to save lives.
To the thrill of a major equity event.
I mean, it used to be once you reached a certain size, your only ability to really raise more capital was the IPO.
We're covering it all over the next 9 episodes, and you're not going to want to miss even one. Directed by Denver Startup Week and produced by me and my colleagues at House of Pod Productions, this is Mile High Hustle.
Mile High Hustle.
Mile High Hustle.
Mile High Hustle.
This investigation starts on the streets.
What do you think makes Denver special?
I think Denver is so special because it's one of the places that a lot of people choose to leave to explore, but so many people come back to. So you can wind up in a random coffee house talking with people that are only, you know, 2 degrees of separation away.
It sounds fluffy and it sounds like BS, but it really is the help first. If someone wants to go to coffee with you, go to coffee, you help them, and I still do that. I mean, I get hit up with those a lot every day, but I'll always make time to do that. And if I don't have the time to do that, I mean, I make time to do that.
Yes, usually I will go out to a friend's party and then end up with a couple more connections and a bunch of new coffee meetings the next week.
And you would be like, that guy started that company that's a $1 billion company and like he's going to have coffee with me, right? Or she did what? She's amazing, right? And that happens all the time. And that's the vibe of Denver.
That last thing, that's interesting. What I'm hearing is that Denver's the kind of city where you can get coffee, at least once, with just about anybody. Is that actually true? I guess I've never really thought about it before. I'm not sure that I say yes to everyone who writes me and asks to meet. But then again, I can't recall having said no. I think this is the first thing I'm going to have to figure out. When I think about local entrepreneurs meeting over coffee, I think of the Commons on Champa. It's a unique space where resources, community, and co-working collide. The Commons is an initiative of the Downtown Denver Partnership, and it opened back in 2015. You know, the Stone Age, before co-working spaces were everywhere.
There's a lot of kind of mixed perception as to what it was, that it was just like a tech incubator, so it was very exclusive, when in actuality, it was total opposite of that. We're a campus or a community hub that supports all types of entrepreneurs. We want to be as inclusive as possible, and we can do that.
This is Jesse Schuler. He's the assistant manager at the Commons on Champa. Jesse is part of the Downtown Denver Partnership team that's working to build community to support Denver's diverse entrepreneurial ecosystem and making starting up accessible for all. When you walk in the door of 1245 Champa, Jesse's there with a smile. He'll ask you what you're working on and introduce you to a fellow hustler. Jesse grew up in Ohio, and like many of us, he only found Colorado later in life. 2009 in his case.
When we first got off the plane, I didn't realize how far away the airport was from downtown, so I was really excited to get to Colorado. Got off the plane, went outside the terminal, and caught the first cab I could. I was, taxi! $85 later, finally got down to downtown. I was like, wow, it's far away.
Once he got acclimated to the wide open West, Jesse and his partner started building their new lives here.
I wanted to be out there in the community. I wanted to put myself in a position to meet people. And I feel like Denver very naturally, that resonates. When you put yourself out there a little bit, people want to learn about you and figure out what you're doing. And that just kind of resonated. So I was just trying to be active in the community as much as possible. But it's amazing what just joining a kickball league can do, which that's exactly what I did. And just through that, I met so many people. And just, you know, exponentially, your networks grow. The more you understand what other people are doing, you ask questions, you naturally are going to learn kind of like the landscape of what's going on and where you can plug yourself in.
The kickball seasons came and went, and little by little, Jesse started becoming a leader in his community. The then CEO of the Colorado Technology Association, Eric Matisic, who you'll hear from later, was looking for someone to join CTA's membership program.
And when I came on board, the Commons was just opening up. So CTA, Colorado Technology Association, was actually an anchor tenant in the Commons and also a founding partner. Eric Matisic was influential, huge leader in getting the Commons created and becoming a reality. And I became really curious about what this space was. I knew it wasn't just simply a building that housed businesses. Like it felt like there was a higher mission to it. And it was very new at the time. And I became very curious about it. So obviously I sat down with Eric and had lunch and started asking probing questions about what the Commons is and what's the purpose of it and where's it going.
Jesse thought back to his own start in Denver and immediately understood the vision for the Commons on Champa. The Commons helps connect entrepreneurs to the people, the community, and the resources they need to make it happen.
Something that I've always really valued is never undervaluing kind of like the circle of influence that you're in or I'm in. My dad actually taught me that. He's like, Jesse, never look to the horizon too far, so where that you're not paying attention to what's right in front of you. Try to have influence in the circle that you have around you and don't take it for granted or undervalue it. And I think that mentality has treated me well. I've always thought that way. Whatever I'm doing, I want to try to give it my 100%.
Jesse took an opportunity to transition to the Commons team, to be the person on the ground, helping to connect the community and telling the Commons on Champa story.
We created this place so that it was very accessible. Literally, you could come into our doors and begin to grow your business without a lot of the hurdles that were there prior to the Commons. A lot of times you have to have high rent just to even have a place. This takes that piece out of the equation right away. You literally have a home. If you're an entrepreneur that's been working in coffee shops and things, feeling very isolated and doing something that's very hard, which is starting a business, now you have like this home, this place that you can literally settle into and also be kind of enveloped by an experience, a sense of community, and then a ton of resources that can be deployed on your behalf. Like, that's pretty amazing to really make the idea of entrepreneurship or starting a business a whole lot easier than what it was.
It's a pretty good story, right? And it's not over. The Commons has served over 40,000 entrepreneurs since it opened in 2015, and many more to come.
There's a really cool company called Alt Ethos who they make, they do storytelling through digital, making digital environments essentially. So for example, Comcast is a great partner of ours. they kind of sponsored all of our technology. They installed this really cool art display, this digital art display in our hallway as you go down into the community event space. And Alt Ethos, which is a startup trying to really kind of, they formed a team. They have a really strong business model. They actually went through a couple accelerators. They got excited about the technology that was installed at the Commons and started asking me questions about it and how it works and like what was the intention behind it. And I told them that it was actually a Comcast installation. A lot of money was thrown at this and sponsored to the Commons, given to us. And they said, well, you know what? We have ideas around it. Like, can we do some reverse engineering and some coding on the back end and create this awesome visual experience that is actually interactive? And so in order for that to happen, I needed to connect them to Comcast and to have a conversation to see what its potential was. And Comcast's original vision for the piece was that it be a canvas for creation specific to digital artists. And I wasn't tech savvy enough to know how to do that. But the entrepreneurs in our space were. So I facilitated that conversation. Now that Digital Hallway, instead of just like a static feed, has this really badass like digital immersive experience where you walk down the hall and it actually senses you walking through it and digitally blooms around you. So it'll kind of be like this baseline graphic cool scenario, but as soon as you walk into it, it notices you and it casts like colors around you. The longer you stay in that environment, and somebody else will come up and shake your hand or be in close proximity to you, the hallway senses that and it keeps blooming and kind of goes crazy. So it's like this ripple effect of the connections that you're having in our world environment, but then like having this echo into this digital world.
I don't know about you, but I want to see that darn hallway. So here it is, your unofficial guide to the Commons on Champa.
Okay, so walk through the front door and boom, you're greeted with my big ugly face because I sit right at the front desk strategically. And just to the right, you're going to hear usually a lot of energy conversation. That's where the Innovation Lounge is, what we call it, the quarterly forum Innovation Lounge. And that's kind of like the heart and soul of the space, because that's where all of our entrepreneurs and teams that are building something, that's where they come every day. They've really become dependent on it, honestly. You got a coffee station where everybody in the community is actually brewing coffee if a pot is empty. So it's like that communal feel. A lot of coffee. We've literally brewed like 44,000 cups of coffee since we started.
44,000.
44,000. We actually broke it down just to see how much. That's the lifeblood of the Commons is coffee.
And it all comes back to coffee, the lifeblood of the Commons. What we want to know is, how did Denver get like this? How did it become a place where so many people are meeting over coffee, leveraging networks, and growing new companies? There's one man in particular who I thought would be good to talk to about this, Denver's entrepreneur in chief.
So let's say I wanted to ask Governor John Hickenlooper a question.
Ooh, that's what's, okay.
Do you think I could get cups of coffee
all
the way to the top?
Right now I'm plotting it out in my head. Honestly, I could probably get you a cup of coffee with Hickenlooper.
Yeah?
Yeah. The governor's at the Commons quite often, actually. I think we can make it happen.
All right.
Wow. This might really happen. Incredible. Wait, this might really happen. How do I make the most out of a meeting with the governor? Answers to that question and more after this short break and a word from one of our sponsors, Zayo Group. Noah Drake, Director of Global Reach at Zayo. Welcome to Mile High Hustle.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I heard you started something called a coffee club.
Yeah, this is one of the things to really just provide an informal environment to get to know prospective candidates. Basically, buy a cup of coffee for anyone who wants to sit down and have a conversation.
So logistically, how does the coffee club work?
Zayo is actually hiring a ton of positions right now, and this is a perfect time to reach out to us. So whether that's applying online on our website or just sending an email to zayocoffeeclub@zayo.com, tell them that you heard about us from the podcast and we'll buy you a double.
But how do you do it? How do you make the most out of a coffee meeting?
I separate the word networking from like building like transformational or real relationships with people.
This is Eric Matisic. Remember him? He hired Jesse to work at the Colorado Technology Association back when he was their CEO. He's now the head of Imagine Analytics, but he and Jesse are still connected on LinkedIn.
Like when you think about the circle of influence, when you're actually building something in your life, the people that matter are the ones who care about you, that B, want you to succeed, that C, have you in their corner, that are like cheering for you and pushing you into opportunities to excel, and D, they're bringing you stuff to like be better. You know, they're helping you be super self-aware. They're like trying to shave off the rough edges to make you an amazing person. And by default, you don't have, you know, 3,000 of those. You have a few of those. And so for me, like when I think about building a great company in the city, the most important thing are the humans in the building. Like the idea doesn't matter. The market doesn't matter. The timing and luck definitely matter a little bit. I'll give luck a lot, but I do believe that like the number one thing that builds and defines great companies is human beings and the ability to have great people that you can work with, that you can be in the trenches with building a company and that you can celebrate with. It's the greatest joys of entrepreneurship. And I think that the most important part of networking per se is to be able to take that, you know, 3,000 people that you have on LinkedIn and boil that down to the 20 or 30 people that if tomorrow you have the perfect idea, you're like, you're coming with me. You're coming to the office. We're going to work together. We're going to go into battle together and we're going to go build an amazing business.
Eric knows what he's talking about. Among many other things, he's a lifelong entrepreneur, the chief innovation officer at the state of Colorado, and one of the co-founders of Denver Startup Week. In other words, he's been doing this building amazing businesses thing for a long time. Like many kids, he started outside his house with a lemonade stand, but he didn't stop there.
I love selling. I love the idea of building something. That followed on to a golf ball business, and that fueled my bank account through elementary and middle school, and then that turned into a t-shirt company in college, and I sold that and ended up paying for my college.
Eric kind of sped past that, but just take a second and think about what that means. Undergraduate Eric Matisic, just some kid from the Western Slope, started a company on the side and made enough money to pay for his classes.
When I got to DU, I always said there's two types of students that go to DU. There's those who are on scholarship and there's those who their parents or their family are blessed enough to be able to pay their way through school. And I was at the former, of course, and I noticed the first day of school that I had like 7 t-shirts on my desk from every welcome week activity. I was like, who makes those? And realized that no one really did. And a bunch of different companies did a bunch of different things, but no one really like was the DU t-shirt / embroidery / like swag person. So I built a company called Rickware my freshman year and sold it to a couple students my senior year and made enough money along the way to pretty much graduate from college without any debt.
Denver's done right by Eric ever since. And he's doing his best to do right by Denver.
When I think about Denver, I think about our deepest roots. I think, you know, we're born in a place where there shouldn't be a city. We don't have a waterway. We're sitting in front of mountains on the edge of a prairie. There's not any real reason why the city should be nestled where it's sitting. Most of the cities of our size and scale during that period of time, they live on places that were deep transportation centers or places that you would naturally convene. We're literally in the middle of grassland prairie at the bottom of mountains. And so when I think about the why, I think we've always been and had a deep Western way. And I think the cowboy nature of our state plays really true today. And I think when you think about, you know, kind of the cowboy code, honor, character, you know, helping fellow, you know, your fellow cowboy, your fellow friend, like these are all simple characteristics that I think really play out in our community.
For Eric, doing right by Denver is living by that same code. That means give first. When someone sends him an email asking for coffee, he'll say yes more often than not.
I mean, I truly believe that you never know, you know, where your future can lead. And I just think that, you just always have to be open to meeting folks and just, you know, really engaging with them and learning about kind of deeply where they're headed and what they're trying to accomplish in this world.
I'm not about to boil water over a campfire and grind beans under my boot heels, but I do want to know how to network like a cowboy. What's the first step?
I think when it comes to connecting the city, you know, the best defense is offense. I just think that you just need to have an offensive mindset around who you want to meet, what you want to accomplish, where you want to connect. I mean, our city is so big now that you can literally find pockets of everything. When we started Denver Startup Week, there was 9 or 10 meetups around innovation and entrepreneurship in the Front Range. It was just not a lot being discussed. And they were huge. They were 300-400 person events because there was just a few of them. Today, when you look and you go to meetup, I mean, there's over 100, you know, a month, you know, in the same metro region. And so there's so many different things you can get involved with so many different experts around so many different pockets of ideas and knowledge.
All right, let's say I'm there. Let's say I've identified the right person, the person I want to connect with. What then? For Eric, it's all about 40, 20, 40.
I spend 40% of my time up front really trying to get ready for the meeting, like understanding who they are, what they're involved with, what's their background, what other friends they have, who do we have friends in common, like what do they really do? Do they bike to work? Do they, you know, are they vegan? Like I love to just go super, super deep on understanding who people are. The 20% you get to hang out, like that's the place where you get to really unfold all those things and like really try to find those uncommon commonalities of like how, like what you really have that can be something you're like, wow, I remember that person because we're both vegans, or I remember that person because we like CrossFit, or we both have 3 daughters, or, you know, whatever the thing may be. And so I think that's always the 20%. And the most important piece, what I think people just usually just rarely do, is the follow-up. And it's the follow-up is the most powerful piece. It's the translation of, hey, I did a bunch of work to figure out who you were. I cared enough to ask you a bunch of questions about understanding that those things were actually things you were passionate about and really pinpointing where you're trying to go in your life. And then third, actually translated that into action. And I followed up and I either brought you more ideas. I either gave you something. I either, you know, brought you some knowledge you didn't have and tried to create some value. I think that recipe is a huge recipe for success. And I think if people can be disciplined around doing that, I don't think there's anybody that they can't meet or engage with or, you know, build a really meaningful relationship with in the city. The mayor, the governor, Mike Fries, Tammy Doerr, anybody.
Here's what I think when I hear stuff like this. Why would any of these powerful people make time for me or anyone like me?
If you're bringing someone value, when you're talking to people who have everything, the only thing they want is more knowledge and more value. And so like the chance of not being able to break through if you're bringing something to somebody is really low. If you're asking for something, they're busy. They have 1,000 people asking for something of their time, a lunch, a dinner, a coffee, a advice, a referral, whatever. Like everybody's asking for everything. But those of us who give, I think, break through the film. And I think it really sets you apart, not only in the community, but I think it actually, you know, kind of puts a heart stamp on their heart as to like, that's a great person. That's someone I want in my circle. So that's what I recommend.
Jesse and Eric shed some light on what's shaping Denver's business community today. Here are a couple takeaways for me. The first is that building a community here really matters. Denver's still small enough that everyone seems to be connected somehow. And the second is that if you want to leverage those connections, you've got to be ready to give first. Keeping that in mind, I'm tapping into the community and my friends at Denver Startup Week to arrange a coffee meeting with the governor. Now I just have to figure out how to bring him value, and I've got to do it fast.
Okay, this is the door to the governor's office. It goes straight in. So as soon as they're ready for you, they'll bring you out in through there. You guys can grab a couple chairs from that stand.
To find out what happens, tune in next time on Mile High Hustle. Mile High Hustle is supported by General Assembly, Hush Blackwell, and Zayo Group. This particular episode was sponsored by Zayo Group. Here's Noah again to tell you more about what they do.
Zayo's 128,000-mile network in North America and Europe includes extensive metro connectivity to thousands of buildings and data centers.
So I got a question for you. The fiber optic cables that stretch for all these many millions of miles, where would I see those? I'm walking down the street.
Chances are it's buried right beneath your feet, where if there's an orange Z marked on the ground, that's actually saying there's going to be Zayo cable. And that cable serves as the backbone for the internet. 50% of internet traffic in the United States at some point during the day has ridden over Zayo network.
So like when I uploaded a really, really funny joke to social media with the hashtag #MileHighHustle, there's a chance that was on Zayo's network?
I mean, 1 in 2 chance, yeah.
Thanks to Zayo Group and the many other businesses and people who help make Denver Startup Week happen. Mark your calendars for Denver Startup Week 2018, coming this September 24th through the 28th. In the meantime, we'll be dropping episodes every other week, so subscribe now wherever you listen to your podcasts. Rate us on Apple Podcasts, and don't forget to leave a review or share with a friend. Your support helps us reach other interested people. Mile High Hustle is directed by the Denver Startup Week team, including Ben Data, Tammy Dorr, Eric Matisic, Kate Barton, and Rye Finnegan. It's produced by myself, Paul Caroli, and Kat Jaffe, with sound editing and design by Matthew Simonson. Our theme song is Lover in Japan by Retrofed, with additional music by Audio Binger, Kirk Pearson and Bit, Komiko Fowler, and Lee Rosevere. If anyone out there wants to make the most out of a coffee meeting with me, I'll tell you that I happen to be a terrible yet enthusiastic disc golf player. Until next time, keep hustling, Denver.